Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to preach the gospel to you today from Psalm 48, if you would like to follow along in your Bible. It'll be Psalm 48. And the definition of the word gospel, to say that I would like to preach the gospel, the definition of the word gospel is good news. Glad tidings, that's what the word means. And that's what I have for us today. I have wonderful news, very wonderful news. Here in Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death." This God is our God forever. That's wonderful news, isn't it? Wonderful news. That truly is glad tidings. This God is our God. Think about that. Forever. Forever. Now, there are some things that we can know based on the wording of this verse. And the first thing is this. He is speaking of a specific God. He said, this God. He's speaking of a specific God. The second thing we can know is, this God is not everybody's God. This God is not, as the scripture words it, their God. You'll see that many times. He talks about their God. This God is the God of a particular people. It says, this God is our God. He's the God of a particular people. The third thing we can know is, this God truly is God. I mean, He is God. Nothing and no one can dethrone Him. You talk about good news. It says, this God is our God forever. Forever and ever. No one can dethrone Him. Now, I want us to spend the majority of our time on the two words, this God. And I want us to know who this God, who our God is forever. I want us to get to know Him. And how can we know Him? If we're going to get to know this God, how can we know Him? The answer is through His Word. Through His own Word. This God has declared who He is in His Word. If the little g God, we talked about the scripture mentioning their God, the lowercase g God. If the God that a man or a woman worships, if that little g God does not match the description of this God, and I have a Bible right here in front of me, the God of the Bible, the God of the scripture. If the God of men and women does not match the description of the God written in this word, then here's the truth. Their God is not this God. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If their God does not match the description right here, their God is not this God. And if their God is not this God, their God is no God at all. None whatsoever. So our hope of salvation, and this is the truth, our hope of salvation and our good news is only in knowing this God to be our God forever. Now, who is this God? We're going to skim the word. I want us to let the word answer that question first. for us. We're going to let the Word tell us who this God is. And I'll go ahead and mention to us that as we read this, God is the Lord. That's what Psalm 118 tells us. So whether we read God is, or if we read the Lord is, in both cases, the Word is speaking of this God. All right? Now let's see who He is, and let's start with this right here. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 45. I hope you have a Bible there with you, and you'll follow along with me. It's very important to see this and read it together. Isaiah 45, verse 20, it says, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image." Their graven image, their idol, their little g, God idol. It says, "And they pray unto a little g God that cannot save." And that's what men and women are doing all over this world. They're praying to a little g God that cannot save. Verse 21 says, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." There are countless, I mean countless, numerous, little g gods that cannot save. And they exist in the mind of men and women all over the world. All over this world. And in great error, and that's what the Lord said to some Pharisees. He said, "You err not knowing the Scriptures." In great error, not knowing the Scriptures, men and women have made up in their mind what they imagine God to be like. They have fashioned their own God. They may not carve Him out of wood anymore, but they have carved Him in their mind. And they say, "Well, you know, I think God is like this. This is what I think about God." In the process of doing that, men and women have formed in their mind their own little man-made God. And that's all that He is. That's all that He is, just a man-made idol that cannot save. That cannot save. There is only one true, alive God. There's only one living God, and this Word tells us exactly who He is. So let's continue reading in the Word so we can know for certain who He is. Turn with me over now to Numbers 23. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" Now, here's the first thing we need to understand about this God, the only God there is, none beside Him. God is not like sinful man. God is not like us. He's not like you and me. We're going to see in a moment that God made Himself to be a man. He did. He prepared a body for Himself. He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, the likeness of it. He made Himself to be in the form of a man. And that's the form that He is still in to this day. When He comes back, He will come back as the man, Christ Jesus, the man. But God in His person is nothing like a sinful man. Nothing. Men and women hear that man was made in God's image. And that's what the Scripture says. God made man in His image. Therefore, they assume that God is like man. God is nothing like sinful man. Nothing. Just listen to these. Psalm 99 says, God is holy. We just read in Isaiah 45, it says, God is a just God. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 6 says, the Lord is righteous. Man is sinful. The Lord is righteous. What all that means is the Lord God is perfect. He is spotless. He is pure. He's right. We're wrong and He's right. And because of that, all of His ways are perfect and spotless and pure and right. Everything He does. Isaiah 55 says, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. When we, in our mind, imagine Him to be like us, and that's what men and women do. They imagine God to be like us. And when men and women do that, they bring Him down. They bring Him down. Our tongue lies. Our minds change. We're weak. The Scripture says, unstable as water. God is nothing like that. Nothing. We try to do things. We try and we hope to do things. Sometimes we succeed and sometimes we don't. God is nothing like that. He said, if I said it, it will be done. That's what we just read. If I said it, it'll be done. He said, all my counsel shall stand. He said, I will work and no one will stop me. Whatever this word says that He is, that's what He is. That's what God is. All right, now go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23 says, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. What does He mean when He says God is a consuming fire? Well, over in Deuteronomy 6, just two chapters over, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13 says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Destroy me from off the face of the earth. Did He really say that? Destroy me from off the face of the earth. Somebody will say, well, that's not the God I had made up in my mind. That doesn't sound like the God I have in my mind at all. Well, I know. I know. Somebody else will say, yeah, but this is the Old Testament. This right here is the Old Testament. God has changed. God's not like this anymore. Well, not only did this God say in Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. But along with that, over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says, you know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. Verse 31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Hebrews 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. It said that in the Old Testament. It says that in the New Testament. This is our God. This God has not changed. If you look at Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The same. The same. He's the same. Exodus 15 says, the Lord is a man of war. Have we ever read that or known that? Deuteronomy 32 says, this God said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. I'm the God that will execute justice. He said that. Psalm 7 says, this God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 75 says, this God is the judge of all of mankind, and he's going to judge man for his sin. 2 Thessalonians 1 says, this God is coming back with his mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and have not bowed the knee to Christ. And it says he's going to punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Gabe, why on this earth are you telling me all this? It's because this is God. And we need to know who this God is, because this is the God with whom we have to do. This is the God. I understand that he is not really being preached today. I understand that men and women are not being warned about who the true God really is, but we need to be. We need to be. We are going to go meet this God. This is the God with whom we have to do. The scripture says every man and woman must stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God. This God. This is not the God of man's imagination. I know that. Man has imagined a weak God like man is. Man has imagined an unjust God like man is, who will just turn a blind eye to sin. Well, you know, let's just forget about that. Man has imagined a God who is trying to do things, but he has to get man's permission first. And he's just hoping that the devil won't mess it up along the way. I can't tell you how many times I've heard false preachers stand up in pulpits saying, now God's trying, but the devil just keeps messing it up. That's not so. God is the God of all. Everything is subject to him. That God is not this God. That God is no God at all. But here's the thing. This God is our God. This is the God with whom we have to do. And he is a just God. He is a just God. But let me tell you something. That's not all that he is. Thank God that's not all that he is. That's not all that Isaiah 45 said he is. We read it just a moment ago. It said, this God is a just God and. Thank God for the and. It said, this is a just God. He said, I am a just God and a Savior. And a Savior. This God is the Savior. You know who the Savior is? The Savior is this God. We're searching the Scriptures to find out really who this God is. This just God. This God of all little g gods. Who is this God exactly? Well, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. I just love this. I love this verse that we're about to read right here. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God. Do you see that capital G? God was manifest in the flesh. Who was it that was manifest in the flesh? God. Jesus Christ. God was manifest in the flesh. It says God was justified in the Spirit, everything he did. God was seen of angels when he walked out of that tomb. They said, he's not here. God was preached unto the Gentiles. That's what we're doing right now. I'm a Gentile, and I'm preaching, I believe, to other Gentiles. And God was believed on in the world. I pray that God might send his Spirit and cause me and you both to believe on him right now. And it says God was received up into glory, sat down on his throne. Who is this God? Isaiah 7 said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." That child that was born. "The Mighty God." "Call his name the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." People have made up in their minds, they've made this up in their minds, that Jesus Christ is just God's son. Well, that's God's son. Oh, no. He's the Son of God. If God will ever reveal to us what that means, our eyes will be opened. The Father is the Father of God. The Spirit is the Spirit of God. These three are one. You can't separate them. God is three equal persons. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." You want to see God the Father? He said, "Just look at me." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." He said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" To see Christ is to see God. Isaiah 40 said that John the Baptist would come and would prepare the way. He would make the announcement of the coming of the Lord, God. And what was he to say? To announce the coming of the Lord, what was he to say? John was to say, "Behold your God. Behold your God." John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was Christ, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Hebrews 1 says, "God the Father said to God the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." This God. Now we're still talking the one who doesn't change. We're still talking about the just God. And we're talking about the Savior. He said, "I'm a just God and I'm a Savior." This God is our God. Does that make you happy? It makes me happy. This God is our God forever. Forever. He is our God forever. Now, let me ask you this question. How do we know He's our God? I'm pointing to you and I'm pointing to me. How do we know He's our God? Well, look across the page here at 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Sinners. Paul said, "I'm the chief. I'm the chief." How can we know that He's our God? Here's how we can know. Because this God said He is the God of sinners. He said, "I'm the God of sinners. I'm the God of Jacob and all of his children." Who's Jacob? He's the sinner. That's who he is. "It pleased the Lord to make sinners his people." Are you a sinner? Yes, I'm asking you. Are you a sinner? Like I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I'm not talking about a little sinner. Well, yeah, I told a white lie last week. No, no, no. I'm talking about a head to toe, in to out, complete ruin sinner. No good sinner. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Sinner. If a person says, "Oh, no. You know, I'm asking, are you a sinner?" And if somebody says, no. Well, that person cannot say that this God is their God then. That person cannot say that this God is his saving God and his calling God. Because this God said he came to save sinners. This God said he did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. So I ask it again. Are you a sinner? Like Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." The Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have nothing to do with me." Peter said, "Wash me from my head to my toes." So I ask again, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner like I'm a sinner? If you are, here's our good news. Here's our gospel. This God right here took our sins and our sorrows, and He made them His very own. This God had all the sins of His people laid on Him. It's the whole reason this God came. He came to take our sin from us. He came to bear the sins and iniquities of His people. He came to die in order to put away their sin. And that's what He did. That's what He did. Because He did put the sins of His people away, and because He finished the work of our redemption and washed us in His own blood, because He made us to be pure and clean in Him doing that, this God has said that He is not ashamed to be called our God. Because He cleansed us, He said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. He said He will be our God and we can be His people. Psalm 68:20 says, He that is our God is the God of our salvation. In His own blood, through His own blood, all because of His own blood, He's the God of mercy. That's who this God is. He's the God of grace. He's the God of compassion. Psalm 116 says, Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Our God. He's merciful. This God is merciful to sinners. And if you're a sinner, this God will be merciful to you. He will cry out for mercy. He delights, this God delights to show mercy for His own name's sake. For His own name's sake. Call this God Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's who this God is. And I'll tell you, that's the best news I know to tell us. That's the best news I know to tell us. This God is our God forever. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.